Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord and God bless you this evening. We know we're late starting this afternoon, but we're still having an issue with one of our service providers that help us do our broadcasting. They're still having some issues that has to do with Chrome, and I'm using a laptop. I'm not using my tablets that I normally use on Sundays. So it's a little off, and I apologize for us being late today. But anyway, today I want to talk to you about a very interesting topic in which I think could benefit you in walking with God each day. I've learned that a lot of people, including myself, we deal with different things. Sometimes everything that we deal with don't make us feel good, but we deal with those issues. And some of the issues that we deal with sorrow. So today I want to talk to you about sorrow today. It's an interesting topic because it affects us in so many different ways in our lives and in our personal lives and in the lives of those around you. So today I want to talk to you about that. Now, welcome to you to the Tabernacle of Deliverance Sunday evening service. Amen. Bow your heads with me for a moment. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for this time of fellowship. I thank you for your word. I thank you for your mercies. I thank you for your kindness. I thank you for the wonderful works to us children of men. I thank you for touching every liberal soul under the sound of my voice today. Oh God, I thank you for touching, breaking yoke, meeting needs in Jesus' name. Amen. I know a lot of pastors, everybody, they're preaching from home and they're doing their best to give you God's word, even from home in the midst of all that's going on. I know some states that are opening up and they're having services elsewhere. They're going back into their churches and stuff, but I really don't advise that right now because they're talking about uptick of the virus and another variant going around. So I'm going to be wise, and I encourage you to be wise and continue to enjoy the Lord from your homes. Get your Bibles. Today, let's talk about sorrow. It's an interesting topic. I don't know really nobody that don't deal with no type of sorrow, because sometimes they have friends and family that pass away and they have different things that break their heart, bring about sorrow. So there's all kind of different ways people deal with sorrow today. So today I want to talk to you about sorrow. Get your Bibles and let's go to Genesis chapter 3. Okay, it reads as such. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrows and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. And thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have rule over thee. All right, now let's look at that. Let's read that verse again. That's Genesis chapter 3, verse 16. And it says, let's read it again. It says, and unto the woman, he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. Now let's talk about this verse for 1 minute here. Now everybody know the story of Adam and Eve. Everybody know that they messed up and got kicked out of the garden, and that they were not permitted back into the garden again. But there's something that took place, not only by them being kicked out of the garden. Sorrow. This is really the first time the Bible's talking about sorrow. This had brought about sorrow upon them, something that nobody never heard of unto Adam and Eve. So Eve was told that she would face sorrow with dealing with the conception. It says here, unto the woman I said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception, and in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. A lot of women wonder why they have so many issues bringing forth children. It's because Eve caused them to have sorrow and conception, and some people lose their children when they're giving birth, and sometimes they die themselves in childbirth. But the thing right here is that the scriptures here that the Lord is telling, God is telling Eve what was going to happen. Now, one of the things I like about God, he tells you and informs you on what's going to happen. God isn't dumb, and he doesn't want you to be dumb. God doesn't want us to be dumb. He wants us to know that sorrow is gonna happen. Issues are going to happen. I know many preachers run around saying everything is going to be okay and nothing is going to go wrong, and they lie. That's not true. Because everybody on this earth is going to face some type of sorrow, some type of issue. Right now, I'm sorrowing the way I got to do the broadcast because there's something wrong with Chrome that's affecting the tablets. All the tablets I have, everything's the same thing. Whether it's online or Wi-Fi or have its own phone number, whatever. Everything's all messed up. And the sorrow on me that I got to fight to do it this way. However, we will move forward. But when you look at this scripture here in Genesis chapter 3, verse 16, it's actually telling Eve what she will go through. So it would be no mystery to her when she start going through that. You go, oh, y'all not understanding me. She would know that she will go through this without a shadow of doubt. She would go through some conception issues. She would have sorrow while she's having children. It's no mystery. Women run around saying, I don't know why this happened. Go talk to Eve. Eve messed it up. The man didn't get away. I don't want to get into that today right now. Because, yeah, the man is guilty as dirt. Okay? Because we got to sweat from our brow to make a buck. Okay? Thanks to him. Okay, but the scripture says here, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children. Now that's heavy. And it says, thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall have rule over thee. A lot of women wonder why they have mean husbands. A lot of women wonder why they have me husband. That scripture tells them that man going to rule over you. You just need to have a good ruling husband. Hello? That's why some women, I don't want no man ruling over me, telling me what to do. I'll go do my own thing. But the scripture says that the husband will be ruler over you. I didn't write it. Don't get mad with me now. I didn't write this, okay? But the whole thing is that the woman would have the husband ruling over her, and if he's not a good ruler, you know you got issues. You know you got issues. If that husband is not a good ruler, he's going to be busting you up. He's going to be running around on you. He's going to have his girlfriend. He might even have boyfriends. I don't trust nobody today. But the scripture is telling her, this is the thing that a lot of people make a mistake at. You got to understand that God doesn't leave us unprepared. Did you hear me? God doesn't leave us unprepared. Okay? That's why the scripture also says, study to show yourself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the words of truth. He doesn't leave us unprepared. We choose to be. That's why when God tells a woman to wait on me, for let me provide you with the proper husband, the proper ruler over you, that means he's going to rule over you good. It's the same thing with a king. Israel wanted a king. Give me a king. Give me a king. I want to be like everybody else. He said, but I want to be a king. So they got a king, and he kicked their butt, made them servants and slaves and all kind of crazy stuff. But that's because we don't wait on God. These type of things happen to us when we don't wait on God or follow God's direction or follow God's word, and we pay a price. A woman is to be subject to her husband. Even a female pastor, while she's not in that, when she's not in that pulpit, she should be subject to her husband when she's home. She can't be telling that man, I don't care, I'm the woman of God and I'm not doing nothing. You say, I know many women of God. I mean many. And I know all of them, they're subject to their husbands. They'll tell you, when I'm home, I'm Sister Jones, I'm not Pastor Jones. My husband is the head of my house. That's what they're going to tell them. They're going to tell a real woman of God, a pastor, evangelist, they're going to tell you that their husband is the head of the house. So when they're home, he may not be the leader in that pulpit, but when he's home, he's in charge. That's that simple. It does not mean he makes more money than her. I like to clear that up real quick. Because some of these men have sorrow because the wives make more. If my wife made $5 million a year, I'm going to be happy. could be happy. I'll be jumping up and down. Let me say, wouldn't you be upset your wife make more money than you? If I don't make $5 million a year, and she does, the Bible said two become one, now I'm going to be jumping up and down. Hers is mine, and mine is hers. So if she make $5 million a year, she'll probably hide half from me because I'll be trying to spend it all up on something. I'll find something to spend it on. What? I'm serious. Man has this habit of getting upset over things unnecessarily, and he jacks them up. Let's move on. Let's go to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And verse 17. Excuse me, verse 7. I'm sorry. And it reads as follows. Oh, that's the Exodus. Okay, verse 7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the afflictions of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrow. Let me read that again. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters. I know their sorrows. That's something. This is the Lord speaking. This is the Lord speaking to Moses. The Lord is telling Moses what is going on. He's telling him, I know what's going on in Egypt. Look at what the verse says. Look at the verse. Oh, don't flip back on me. Okay, look at the verse. It says, verse 7, and the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of who? His people. Now, preachers run around calling people there my people. We don't own anybody. We don't own anybody. You're just an under shepherd overseeing God's people, not your people. You don't own anybody. They're the God's heritage. So the scripture said, and I had the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. Listen to what it says again, for the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt. This is one of the problems. We're still living in Egypt. In our lifestyle, in our conduct, in our ways, we're still living in Egypt. Did you hear what I said? We're still living in Egypt. God wants to bring us out of our personal Egypt. He wants to bring us out. He wants to bring us over. He wants us to come up out of Egypt permanently. He wants to bring us out of Egypt. He wants us to be finished with Egypt. He doesn't want us to have nothing to do with Egypt, but we choose to continue on in Egypt. Now, the scripture goes on to say, I've seen affliction of my people watching Egypt, and I've heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, what they were doing to them. Some people would rather live in misery. This is true. Some women would rather continue in sorrow and misery with a man that don't mean them no good, that beats them daily. It's something to think about. God knew what was going on with Egypt. It was going on in Egypt with the taskmasters abusing the children of Israel. God knew this. He's seen it. This is why he said, I see their sorrow. I know their sorrow. It says here in the verse right here, it says, I know their sorrows. God knew their sorrows. God knew what was going on with them. God knew that they were suffering. God knew they were going through this thing. It wasn't no mystery. God knew exactly what was going on. God knew exactly what was taking place. And a lot of times people make a mistake and think God don't know what you're going through. Oh, you don't hear me today? A lot of times we make this concept in our head that God doesn't know what we're going through in our lives, what we're going through in our homes, what we're going through with our family, and what's happening around us in our jobs. God doesn't know. They think God is blind, dumb, or stupid, or something. It gotta be. But God said he already knew their sorrows. See, Moses didn't have to come to God saying, oh, God, they got such problems. Oh, God, they got that. God said, I already know. I already know what they're going through. I want you to bring them out. That's the thing. God needed a spokesman. God needed somebody that would speak for him. God needed somebody that would stand up for him. God needed somebody that would go out and tell the people. The Bible said, cry loud and stand up. Lift up your voice like a trumpet and show my people their transgression in the house of Jacob their sins. God needed somebody to tell the truth. God needed somebody, anybody that will be willing. Now you ain't got to be all that fancy. As you can see, I'm not enough of fancy. But I'm going to tell you the truth. And the truth will make you free. The truth don't make nobody set nobody free. It makes you free. It don't set you free. This is what God was trying to get Moses to know. I already know their afflictions. I already know their trouble. I want to make them free from Egypt. But the question, what do they want to really come out of Egypt? The funny thing about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, they didn't want to give up the ways, but some of the Egyptians wanted to come out. You really read the story about the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, you're going to find out some of the Egyptians came out. You'll find out some of the Egyptians put the blood over the doorpost because they didn't want their firstborns dead. They came out of Egypt with Moses, not by Moses, but along with Moses. Not because of the commandment of the Lord, not because they were Jews, but they wanted to come out of Egypt. You got to tell people that because the people run around saying there's so many hypocrites in the church. That's because they came out with Moses. They wasn't Jews. They wasn't saved. They don't know God, but they come into church because it seems nice. It's an escape from an abusive husband. It's an escape for a few minutes to clear your mind of your corrupt deeds that you're going, or you coming and looking for somebody to meddle with. I ain't dumb. I know what the deal is. But the scriptures is clear. The scripture is clear that the children of Israel had to be brought out of Egypt. That was the main thing. They were living under sorrows daily, 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 daily. And God wanted to bring them out. Let's move on. Let's go to Psalms 127 real quick. Psalms 127. Psalms 127. Psalm 127 and 2. And it reads as follows. Let's look at that verse. Psalm 127 and 2 said, it is a vain thing for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth the beloved rest. Let me say it again. Let me read it again. Psalm 27 and 2 says, it is a vain thing for you to rise up early in the morning and to stay up late, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he giveth his beloved sleep. We need to understand that. That's something a lot of people fail to understand. That is something people fail to understand. It makes no sense for you to get up early in the morning and stay up late at night, eating the bread of sorrows. What is he talking about? Feeling sorry for yourself. Feeling all beat up. You just get up in the morning. Get and stay up like that. Oh, this happened. Oh, that's happened. And the devil just cracks up laughing because I got another sucker to use. I got another sucker on my neck late. Wear down and beat down to the ground. But the Lord said he gives his beloved sleep. Do you know what he's talking about when he says he gives beloved sleep? He's giving you peace. He's giving you rest. He's giving you completeness. I'm not living that way. I don't care what. No, I don't care. My wife wants to live the way. That's her business. But my Bible tells me that he gives his beloved sleep. And I am his beloved. You're supposed to be God's beloved. You are supposed to be God's beloved. Everybody's going to deal with sorrow, but he wants you to come out of your sorrows. He wants you to go to him and lean on him to bring you out of your sorrows, to bring you out of your troubles, to bring you out of your afflictions. It's a choice. It's a matter of a choice. It's a matter of a choice of what we want to do. It's a matter of a choice how we want to serve God. It's a matter of a choice what we really want to do. And it's true. It's a matter of what we really want to do before God. Some people don't want to do nothing but moan and complain about everything going on around them, but God does not change. He does not. He will not. He says, I'm the Lord thy God that changeth not. That's the thing about God. He don't change. God does not change. Amen. He don't err. He don't make mistakes. God don't make mistakes. We do. We make the mistakes. We go off key. But when you look at this scripture in verse 22, Psalm 127, it says, it is vain for you. In other words, you're wasting your time. Did you hear what I said? You're wasting your time to get up in the morning and stay up late at night feeling sorry for yourself. You say, oh, you don't understand what I'm going through. God understands. I don't need to understand. That's not my job. My job isn't to understand what you're going through. Your job is to call on God, who understands all, knows all, tells all, knows all. He does all. He said, I'm the Lord thy God that changeth not. He don't change. He don't error. He don't flip out and do out and all this other crazy stuff. He's not like us. Oh, y'all ain't hear me? God ain't like us. We have a tantrum over anything. We flip out over anything. So it says, it is a vain thing for you to rise up early and to sit up late and to eat the bread of affliction, for he giveth his beloved sleep. That's one of the problems. People don't know who they are. People get saved and still don't know who they are in God. You got to know who you are. You got to know where you're going. You got to know how to get there. Amen. Waiting for somebody to tell you how to get to heaven? Let's start by repenting. Let's start by getting right with God. Let's start by accepting Christ as our personal Savior. Going to the preacher, shaking his hand, going to the priest and confessing your sins. We'll not save you, because that priest got to go somewhere and confess his sins to another priest. And that priest got to go to some other priest or go to the Pope or whatever. They ain't got no saving power. I don't own no saving power. God got the saving power when his son went to Calvary and shed blood that we all might be saved. Not some, but we have to be willing to come to Christ. Whosoever will, let them come. Let's move on. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 3. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 3. Isaiah 14 and verse 3, and it reads as follows. And it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve. I'll say it, read it again. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow, and from thy fear, and from the hard bondage wherein thou hast been caused to serve. God wants to give you rest. Did you hear me? God wants to give you rest. God wants to remove all the bondage from your life. Some people got bondage that they're carrying around. They go to church, praise the Lord, but they're still counting bonds and bondages around their neck. They're walking around with chains and fetters of the past. They're walking around with chains and fetters from the past. Those of you that's watching this television broadcast right now, let me pray for you. If you don't know the Lord as your personal Savior, let me pray a sinner's prayer with you. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you save every little soul. Oh, God, that you touch them from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet. Oh, God, if they don't know the Lord as their personal Savior, I want you to repeat a simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of my sins. Come into my heart to be my Lord and personal Savior. I thank you for saving me in Jesus' name. That's it, friend. If you believe God, God will come into your life. It's a simple sinner's prayer. He said, whosoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's move on. And it said, then shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve. Listen to this. God wants to give us rest from our bondage. God wants to give you rest from the sorrow and from the fear. Some people live in fear daily. Their whole life is centered around fear. They don't do nothing without being in fear. I know that. I can speak personally from that. The devil likes to people keep you in fear that you can't move forward. I'm telling you, fear will cripple you. Fear will cripple you where you can't do nothing. It's like somebody that got braces on their legs and they can't walk. The braces are supposed to help them walk, but the braces ain't moving right. And without them braces, they can't move at all. That's how the devil operates. He likes to cripple you with fear so you cannot move forward in God. He likes to cripple people. He had a kick out of that. He's been doing it forever. He knows as long as he got you in fear, he got you. You're not going to tell nobody about God because you feel God ain't doing nothing for you. You're not going to rebuke him because you're afraid. You're scared. You don't think it's going to work. But the Bible says, no weapon that forms against you shall prosper, and every tongue that rise up against you, thou shalt condemn, because this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and the righteousness of me, saith the Lord. That's the scripture. But one of the problems here is, why sorrow and fear eat up people so much? You know, let me tell you why. They haven't grown in God. They have not taken the time to grow in God. I'm not kidding you. Because as we grow in God, we learn that we can plead the blood of Jesus and rebuke the devil in Jesus' name and heal. The Bible said it. The Bible said it. The devil resists those that are skillful in God's word. He's going back up when you plead the blood of Jesus. When the devil starts meddling with me, you know what I tell him? And I know this for a fact, and he knows I know it. I said, that blood still works. I ain't joking. I told him, I don't beat around the bush. I said, that blood still works. He knows I know that the blood of Jesus still works. Well, I start telling him that blood still works. He knows what I'm talking about. You may not know what I'm talking about. I could be walking down the street with somebody in a car and the devil start talking. I said, yeah, but that blood still works. Amen. I remember a few nights ago, last week it was, he started meddling with me in my sleep. And I got up and I said, yeah, but you still alive. And he studied talking. He went on and said, but so-and-so. I told you, you're still a liar. It's just the truth. You're still a liar. Just admit the truth, you're lying. You got to know who your enemy is. You got to know how to address your enemy. No. Let me clear something up here. It ain't me. It's the God in me. It ain't me on my own. It's the God in me. The devil ain't scared of Bernard, Pastor Wells. I could use that title, Pastor Wells, all day. The devil is not frightened of Pastor Wells. He could care less about Pastor Wells. He's afraid of the God in Pastor Wells. That's the difference. He's afraid of the living God that lives in me. He knows if I start speaking that word, he knows that word of God is true. That's why you got to become skillful in the words of God. Some people are skillful in television. You don't believe me? Some people are skillful in television. You can ask them about any movie star, any singer, and they can tell you who they were, when they was born, how many kids they had, what kind of stuff. Now, when it comes down to the word of God, they don't have a clue how many children did Moses have. Oh, he had 38 kids. What did the Bible say he had 38 kids? They don't know. They're just guessing. How many children did Jesus have? Oh, Jesus, I think, had 20 kids. Where is that at? That's because they don't know. How many children did Paul have? Well, as far as I read, the Bible said he had 8 boys. Where? That's not in the Bible. Paul had a lot of children in the gospel, meaning that they were birthed through his preaching, not naturals. The problem here is when you're skillful in the word of God, you can use it skillfully and put the devil in this place. Amen. He knows that the devil knows the word of God. It's you that don't know. I don't like to read the Bible because it contradicts us. They say the same thing over and over and over again. You need to get God's spirit in your life. Amen. Then you'll see the word of God as the word of God really is. Get the spirit of God in your life. Verse 3 one more time. Isaiah 14:3. And it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow and from thy fear and from the hard bondage wherein thou was made to serve. This is something God desires to do. Amen. That's one time you got to get in God's word for yourself. You know, it's really sad. It really is. Today we got smartphones. Tablets, laptops, desktops, smartwatches. And they got all kind of stuff. But we won't take time to search God's word. We will not take time to search out God's word to find out what he has to say. preachers today. Most of them got all them glorious titles, DDS, THD. I think it's some new one I never heard before. Then you got these pastors that are homosexuals and they're married. I don't beat around the bush. They're homosexuals and they got their churches. I was reading one fly was a pastor so-and-so and the first gentleman. That's a lie from hell. That's demonic, 100,000,000%. The Bible talks about that. See, when you know the word of God, you can put what belongs where. I don't beat around the bush, because that's not God. I'm not saying in church buildings that they ain't gay men, because there is a lot of them. But they're going to go to hell because they won't repent of their sins. They play in church. I ain't no dummy. That ain't moving me. My focus is not to sit there worrying about who's gay and who's straight. My job is to tell you the truth, to get right and stay right. Amen. That's personal. I can't tell you I teach and preach about personal relationship with God because that's all he's interested in. He's not interested in group. He's interested in you personally. Amen. He's not interested in the tabernacle of deliverance, tabernacle of prayer, or holy cathedral of Jones, or whatever the name of your ministry is. God isn't interested in that. He's interested in your soul. He's interested in you personally. He wants to build a personal relationship with you. He wants to come in and step in the midst of your sorrow and knock that sorrow out and bring you peace and joy and bring you true deliverance. This verse is true. And it shall come to pass in that the day that the Lord. See, you got to listen to this. It says, in the day that the Lord shall give you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and from the bondage, the hard bondage wherein you was tasked to serve. I want to clear this up. God is not talking about when you're dead. People think God is going to free me from all my sorrow when I'm dead. That's not what the scripture is saying. Do you think God wants you dead? He wants you to live so you can see what it's like to live in glory. You got to live here first. How are you going to heaven and you don't know a thing about it? How are you going to? That's why a lot of people will be lost. They haven't walked before God, so they don't know what it's like. And they're talking about they're going to die and go to heaven. How? Heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. You prepare for hell here daily. But not the right. You don't have to do nothing special to be lost. Nothing at all. I often talk about water. Everybody knows it. I often talk about Poland Spring water. I like to drink it. I want to tell you something about Poland Spring water. It's just like any other water until you put it in a freezer and it gets nice and cold. It's clean water and it tastes good and it tastes better when it's frozen and it's excellent in tea and coffee. You could smell the aroma that is clean. I want to tell you something. This water, until you put it in the freezer, is just a bottle of warm water, a lukewarm water. But once you put it in the freezer, this water is going to get cold, just like any other water, bottle water. You put it in the freezer, it's going to get cold. It's going to turn to ice, or ice cold water, or it'll freeze totally. But if you don't put it in there, it's not going to freeze. And that's that simple. And that's the same thing with your sorrows. Until you follow what the scripture says, you're always going to have those same old sorry sorrows until you address them, until you turn them over to the Lord. See, the scripture here is telling us something that we reject. It says, and it shall come to pass in the day that the Lord shall give thee rest from thy sorrow. Give thee you. God wants to give you personally rest from your sorrow. A lot of people have a lot of sorrows. They work with people that die and they hurt. Their friends die. And through this outbreak, so many people have passed away. In some families, I've heard 5 and 6 members have passed away from the outbreak. So that's a lot of sorrow. But God wants to give us rest from that sorrow because the burden is not going to kill us after a while if we don't get some rest. You stand there worrying about everybody dying. You're going to die. It's going to work on your heart and kill you. You got to trust God. The scripture says God wants to give you rest from your sorrow and from your fear and from the bondage to hard work. We stay in bondage. We're bondage to television. We're bondage to this. We put ourselves. We got to be careful what you put yourself in bondage in. So I'm serious. You could get yourself messed up. You got to put yourself in God's grace and mercy. Let's move on. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 53. A lot of people know this verse very well. Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Listen to this. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. We're talking about the Lord when he went to Calvary. But I want to read it again. Surely he had borne our grief and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. That's what the Lord did. The Lord carried. See, this the song they said, take your burdens to the Lord and leave him like that. He wants to carry your burdens. He wants to take over your burdens. He wants to take over your sorrows. This man died for your sorrows. That's nice. Did you hear me? The Lord died for your sorrows and mine. That's something to think about. He died for your sorrow that you could be free from your sorrows. But the problem here is he knew that a lot of people wanted to hold on to their sorrows. Like, I hold on to this Bible. Oh, don't let me go. I'm not going to let you go. That's how we hold on to our sorrows and our trouble. In a situation we know we hold on. Oh, God, I don't want to let it go. He wants to take all your sorrows and your burdens and your troubles and free you from them. I'm not talking about no pie in the sky. I'm talking about the living God's Son. Jesus Christ, who went to Calvary, he died that you might be free from the burdens and sorrow that you deal with, because he knew that you would deal with burdens. Amen. The Lord knew that you would deal with sorrows. There ain't no mystery. In fact, while he walked the earth, when the Lord walked the earth, Lazarus died. When Lazarus died, there was sorrow. The funny thing about the Lazarus story is when Lazarus, the Lord rose Lazarus from the dead, the Jews wanted to kill Lazarus. They wanted to make sure he was dead. You got to read the story. They really wanted to kill him. And because Lazarus rose from the dead, people went to Jesus. I'm serious. Not because Jesus was in town, but because Lazarus was alive. Other than that, they would have never checked out Jesus. When you think about these things, it's interesting. The Lord raised Lazarus from the dead, and the very Jews wanted him dead. And then some of the Jews went and followed Jesus just because of Lazarus, not because of Jesus. It's just amazing. But the scripture here tells us in Isaiah 53 and 4, it says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Did you hear what it just said? He borne your griefs. He borne your sorrows. He borne our sorrows. He borne our troubles, our grief, a heartache, pain. Everybody responds differently when they lose their job. So some people's a real big grief. And they go to an interview and they think they're going to get this job, and they don't get the job, they be hurt. They be counting on getting that job. They've been looking forward to getting that job. There's somebody out there right now like that. Somebody going to come across this broadcast, and they're going to have been just through that. I just want to tell you that God can carry your griefs and your sorrows. He could bring you over and give you something better. Amen. He had better. The Bible said no good thing he would hold for them that walk uprightly before him. The Bible said eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the hearts of men, the thing that God has prepared for them that love him. I like that part. God prepared stuff for us. That's beautiful. God prepared stuff up that we don't even know about. Not yet, but we will as time goes on. God will allow us to know what he has for us if we want it. Now, just to make a little joke of this, if God told every human being on earth today, I have $5 million for each one of you right this second. Do you want it? I'm telling you, over 7 billion people would run to God. Did you hear me? They'll drop all the gods and things that they worship, and they're going to run right to God. They're going to run right to him. Can I have my $5 million, please? Now, all before, they didn't know him. They don't want to have nothing to do, and they don't believe in God. But now, can I have my $5 million, please? That's how we are. Yeah, we fake it. We don't believe in God. I don't believe in God. But God got 5 million from where we at. That's exactly how we respond to things. They didn't believe in God. They're worshiping stones and wood and all kinds of idols and stuff. But the minute they hear God got 5 million for them, they run into the living God. They're going to knock you down to get there. You've been serving God for years, but they're going to knock you down and get there. I got to get my $5 million from God. Wait a minute. I thought you were the atheist. Oh, I ain't got time for that right now. God got $5 million for you. Amen. That's how humans are. We're very deceptive to ourselves. So the scripture says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. And yet we did esteem and stricken and smitten of God and afflicted. This is way back then. The Lord carried our grief and bore our grief and our sorrows if we want it. In other words, all you need to do is give your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and turn over everything to him, because he already bore it. Give it to him. Make sure he has it and go about your business and walk with God. His sorrows is his. Your sorrows is God's problem. Your griefs are God's problem. That's why I just lean on God. I do a lot of stuff. I'm not pulling my hair out about nothing. I ain't got much hair out of this. All right, Mojo, to pull out. But some of my friends are 100% bald, and I'm not. I'm serious. I call him Mr. Clean. Let's move on. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah chapter 31 and verse 25. Listen to this. For I have satisfied the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. Let me read it again. For I have sanctified the weary soul, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. That's powerful. Did you hear what that just said? Did you hear what God just said? God can stand by and satisfy your soul. He can replenish your soul in the midst of all your sorrows. It says, and I have replenished every sorrowful soul. God can replenish your sorrowful soul with peace, joy, and happiness. You do not have to live in sorrow and misery every day. You don't have to live like your whole world is caving in on you. You do not. You don't have to live like your whole world is just calamity. Calamity is just overtaking you and smothering you. You don't have to do that. The Bible said, with long life will I satisfy him. God wants to show you his salvation. What is God's salvation? It's huge. It's vast. It includes gazillion things that God has prepared for us. Soul that God wants you to talk to. Lives God wants you to help be an instrument to change. You haven't even met them yet. You haven't even met them. Stop limiting yourself. Take the limit off of God. Let God expand you in him. Take the limits off of the living God and let him expand you in him. Hallelujah. We need to take the limit off of God and allow him to expand us in him so we can go somewhere in God. Just because you're home don't mean you can't go nowhere in God. You got an internet service there. You can get online and talk to people. Let God use you as a dynamic vessel to reach the lost through modern technology. God wants to use you. But, you know, do we really want to be used by God? That's the thing. Do you really want God to do something with you? I'm not talking about religious. Anybody can be religious. That's foolishness to me. I'm talking about having the living God use you. Oh, my gosh. You could be a blessing to somebody else, whether it's financially, spiritually, prayerfully, or hell. Oh, my gosh. Just sit down. The Bible, you know what the Bible also said? The Bible said a fitting word at the right season can move a person. And then, oh my gosh, it could change a person's life. When you sit down and give them the right word from God, it don't have to be a scripture. It's just that God speaks through you. And you could just comfort that person in the midst of all. That's when you led of God. The Bible said that many of them are led by God, Spirit of God. They are the sons of God. You got to get in tune with God. We're talking about sorrow. And God wipes it out. You could be a vessel used to God by God to help wipe out somebody's sorrow. Do you know that's a fact? Do you know somebody could write a check for $1,000 but somebody's sitting around and sorrowing that they lost their job and they ain't got no money to pay their rent? And you just write a check for that person for $1,000 to pay their rent? You lift the burden off that person. They're not sorrow anymore. Their rent is paid for the month. I'm serious. That's what God could do. There is nothing too hard for God. We got to learn to trust. Oh, my goodness. If we just learn to trust God. If we learn to lean and depend on him like the scriptures say. You ain't going to see nothing from God until you start trusting him. So start leaning on him and expecting him to do. Amen. When we expect God to do, we'll see miracles. We'll see deliverance. We'll see healing. You ain't got to have nothing special. All you need to do is get in tune with God. This scripture here tells us It says, "For I have sanctified the weary soul, and I have replenished the sorrowful soul." This is what he's saying. He replenished. He redid them. He renewed them. He refreshed them. Oh, goodness. God refreshed the soul. Oh, my goodness. The sorrowful soul got refreshed by God. Hallelujah. That's beautiful. And God had done this. Let's move on. Now, I know y'all know this scripture real good. Let's go to 1 Chronicles. Chapter 4. And let's start at verse 9. Most people know the story. First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 9, and it says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I had borne him with sorrow." Now remember what I told you about Eve, and people have a sorrow, women have a sorrow. So it says, let's read it again. "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, and his mother called his name Jabez, because I have him with sorrow." She went through a lot of things when she had Jabez. And the thing about Jabez was, he was more honorable than his brothers. Amen. He was more honorable than his brothers. But there's something else unique about this. Amen. This story about Jabez is in the midst of the genealogy. And in this story, God wanted us to get something about who he is.
Amen.
God wanted us to get who he is and what he does. And when you look at verse 10, you know you heard your story before. And it says, "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thy hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keepest me from evil, that it may not grieve me." And God granted him that which he requested. A lot of people preach that scripture. A lot of people constantly preach about that scripture. And they talk about that scripture about Jabez, about him calling on God, and God honored his requests. But I want you to look at that verse. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel," verse 10, First Chronicles chapter 4, verse 10. "And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my clothes, and that thy hand might be with me." This is something a lot of people are not catching. They're talking about God granting him what he wanted. But you got to understand that Jabez wanted God's hand to be with him. Oh, y'all ain't hearing me today. Jabez wanted God's hand to be with him in the midst of all of his storms, in the midst of all the trouble, in the midst of all the sorrow, in the midst of all the disagreements. He wanted God's hand to be with him. Look at that verse. "Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast." People want God. People want God to enlarge their coast and give them more of this and give them more of that, but they can't take care of the little they have already. But they want the same thing that Jabez had. God is not doing that for everybody. I know preachers get mad when I say that. God is not doing what he done for Joe for you. What he did for Joe or June or Mary, he ain't doing for you because you ain't there. Did you hear me? I guess I'm the guy that they call the anti-do for you. But all I'm saying, what God done for Joe, he'll sure do for you. Yes, amen. Nonsense. God is not doing the same thing because you don't know what Joe, Mary, and Harry went through to get that. And you know you don't want to go through what they went through. If they were to tell you what they went through, you're going to say, I don't want that. I want what that blessing, but I don't want to go through that. Well, therefore, you ain't getting it because you ain't going through that. I know the things I went through. I don't know nobody in their right mind would want to go through. Nobody. Trust me. The scripture says, and Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed and enlarge my coast, that if, that thy hand might be with me, and thou wouldest keep me from evil, and that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested. Did you hear me? God granted the man what he requested. He asked God to keep him from evil. That's another thing. Some people want to go to evil. Some people want to be mixed up in mess and want God's blessings at the same time. They want their messy lifestyle. We were talking earlier, me and my wife, we were talking about back when I first started. Well, I first got saved. And there was men in the church that were gay. And I realized a lot of those men never intended to be saved. They never intended to walk with God. They never had a mind to walk with God. Never at all. Some of them just came looking for boys that they can manipulate and abuse, get under their wing and break them, turn them into homosexual and stuff. Oh, yeah, you got women. Do the same thing with girls. You make them live. They're nasty people. They're unclean. They got them unclean spirits in them. You can be saved, delivered, and made free by the power of the word of God. I'll say it again. You can be saved, delivered, and made free by the power of the word of God and the blood of Jesus. You don't have to live like that. Now, I'll tell anybody that, because I know God is a deliverer. I know God's a way maker. I know God is a healer. And just like Jabez called on God, and God granted him, the whole thing was that Jabez not only wanted God to bless him, he wanted his hand to be with him. He wanted God's hand to stay with him throughout his lifetime. He wanted God's grace to be with him. He wanted God's mercy to be with him. He wanted the greatness of God to be with him. A lot of people just playing church, even from home. The preachers, they ain't living nothing anyway, some of them. So they still having their broadcast. They can't wait to get back in the building so they could dress down head to toe. Some of them put their crowns on their head, their staffs in their hand, and their cape on like Batman. They want to really go around looking really deep and spiritual, but still haven't repented of their sins. I'm telling you. You got to get a hold on God for yourself. You got to really want to serve God for yourself. Let's move on. This is our last scripture. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4. This is something that we need to understand about God and his ability to do. Listen to this. Revelation chapter 21, verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away. I'll read it again. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, there shall neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for former things are passed away. That's interesting, right? That's an interesting thing. God has made a promise here. But when you read that scripture about that promise, it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither there any more pain. For former things are passed away. What is God saying? in the last days. God wants to put us in a position where we can obtain eternal life. And that all pain and all sorrow and all misery will be wiped away. We won't be crying over nobody dying. We won't be crying no more over lost jobs. We won't be crying over our car broke down on the highway or we got into a car accident or whatever the case may be. But the word of God is sure that God is going to perform this, that he's going to wipe away all the tears, and that all former things are going to be passed away. This is why you got to live right now. This is why you must live for God now. Stop talking about tomorrow. Live for God today. You know, everybody heard about the accident. I think it was in California. With the 25 people or 28 people in an SUV, 13 or 14 of them died. My point on two counts. One, they hadn't been having that many people in there in the first place. That's a whole more than seven people. Okay, and it's an older model. However, the other part, the people had no idea. Whether they were coming to the United States illegally or whatever the case may be, they had no idea they were going to die that day. They had no idea they were going to be driven into eternity. They had no idea. They had no clue that they were going to go into eternity. And if they was not prepared to enter into, oh my goodness, if they were not prepared to enter into eternity, they were lost. There is no communication between the living and the dead once you're dead. I know in some religious organizations, they teach that you can pray for the dead. There is no such thing in the Bible. There ain't no such thing as praying for the dead. You can pray for their family, that God give them strength. There is no such thing. Once they leave this earth, they're going into eternity. Unless they're revived, and you could call them, but reviving them, you could bring them back. In some cases, of course, not all. But here these people went into eternity, whether they prepared or not, they went into eternity, but they didn't plan to die. They want to land up on the bed, they're ready to die. Like in a movie, Coming to America too. The king lays in the casket. He had his funeral early so he could see his funeral. And then he told his son, I'm going to die now. That wasn't the case. The case was these people was driven into eternity. You could walk out your door across the street and get hit by a car and die instantly. You could drop dead while you're walking. And you know what? One of the funniest things about this, death has no age limit. Death has no age limit. People in that car died from teenagers to adults. Sorrow. The things we do could bring other people sorrow. The way we live, the way we conduct ourselves, we could bring other people sorrow and misery. God wants to wipe away all the sorrow. God wants to wipe away all the tears. God wants to do that. But you know what? The question God has always asked us, do you really want to be free? Do you really want eternal salvation? Do you really want to see me bless your life here? See, but people are so wrapped up in money, so they think that's the only blessing that God has. It is not. It's not even on the rectal scale. God has so many blessings. God could put people in your life that are just blessings to you. God could put people that could bless your life beyond your wildest imagination, but it's God's doing, not yours and not theirs. Today, this message was about sorrow, not to stay in sorrow, but to allow God to bring you out of sorrow and take your sorrows and give you joy, peace, and happiness. In the midst of a crazy world, I was on Facebook. It wasn't a business group that I'm in. And the guy said something that was really funny. He said, you know, I was watching Fox Business News about stock trading and stuff. And he said, it became so depressing, I had to turn it off. So he said, how many of y'all watch Fox News stock trading? I said, I don't watch Fox News at all. If I want to get depressed, I'll depress myself. If I wanted to be depressed, I could depress myself. I don't need to watch the Fox News or Jew News. God don't want you depressed. God don't want you compressed or oppressed or depressed. Salvation opens the door for you to receive the blessings that God has for you. The Bible said, moving on from the rudiments of Christ, let us grow in God and get to know more about him. So what I'm saying to you, those of you that don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today I would like to pray a sinner's prayer with you for you to accept Christ as your personal Savior and give him your sorrows and your troubles and your heartaches and your miseries and give up your mistress and your marriage. Go back to your wife or just live single. I don't know why that came, but that's it. Bow your head with me to repeat the sinner's prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. I ask you to wash me in your precious blood. Save me right now. Come into my heart to be my Lord and my personal Savior. Lord Jesus, I thank you for saving me. I thank you for washing me in your precious blood. I thank you for your mercies. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen. Just before we go, I want you to visit the Tabernacle of Deliverance, inc.org. And you can leave a testimony, a prayer request. We have pages for both. And you also can become a partner and help support our TV broadcast and our podcast. We're on Tuesday nights, every Tuesday night on the Daily Gospel Network channel on Roku, Amazon Fire, and Apple TV. Right now, soon we'll be, I think in a month or so, we should be able to go, by the grace of God, we'll be on cable television also. As the Lord works that out, we'll be on that. I'll let you know about that. Now listen, walk with God, give God your sorrows, and allow God to bless your life. I'll see you on Wednesday night. We have Bible study at 8 o'clock. Hopefully the system is running better. But at 8 o'clock, I'll see you at 8 o'clock on Wednesday night right here. God bless and have a good day.